Sounds beautiful, right? Much easier than the other thing. Much beautiful. This is called a kudu. You grow in the Sahara, all over Africa. And whenever you imagine somebody blowing shofar, for some reason this is what comes to mind. Nachon? Is it mutar to use this? Kasher to use this on Rosh Hashanah? Oh, big question. I have one more question. Maybe two more. You know what this is? It's called an oryx. Karnei re'em, karnav vahem. These are the karnei re'em. At least we think they are. And this is another question. Can you use this on Rosh Hashanah?
No.
Negative.
Okay, we'll see. Maybe. And one more. I don't have that many, unfortunately. I only got into this year. Okay, anyone know what this is? This is a ram. Okay, wonderful. I'm not so special. I learned how to do this over the summer. It's out of shame, everyone can too. Now, the Torah tells us you have to blow the shofar. Doesn't say what to blow with. The Gemara is a machloket. You use keren. It has to be a keren. It has to be a horn that grows on top of the bone. Fine. But what do you use? There are so many kosher animals out there. So many animals have horns. There's an oryx, a gemsbok, an ibex, an in, an un, and whatever. Google it, you'll find a million of them. It's amazing. There are so many kosher animals out there, it's unbelievable. We just don't eat them. But there are so many animals out there that have a shofar. The Gemara says, according to one opinion, you can only use keren ha'ayil kafuf. You can only use a bent ayil horn. They don't grow like this. It actually grows all bent up, and we straighten it out. But maybe this is still considered bent. The Gemara says, you can use this on Rosh Hashanah, and on Yovel use other things, like Ya'el, whatever, fine. And the Gemara has a machloket about this. How do you understand the machloket? According to the Rambam, it's very simple. This is the only option. Everything else is pasul, according to the Rambam. And according to everybody else besides for the Rambam, this is the ideal option. Avram Avinu saw this. Ayil ne'echaz vasevach. He saw an ayil, a ram, that was stuck in the thing. These things are very curved. It's the only one that can actually get stuck in a bush. These things cannot. It's too tall, it's too long, it's not going to happen. This is what brings Hashem memories of Akedat Yitzchak. These guys are nice. They remind him Hashem of the Sahara Desert. But they don't remind Hashem of Yitzchak Avinu. So that's why it's not ideal. By the way, an ayil is not the same thing as an ayal. Ayal is a deer. Ayil is a ram. It makes a big difference. Make sure you know what you're talking about. You don't want to get up as Chazan and say, Zechel ayalif ayalif anecha Hashem. We don't want to remember the deer. We want to remember the ram. Now, the Rambam understood this to be the only option, whereas everybody else understood this is the ideal option, but any kosher animal is fine. So what happens in Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch recommends. Anyway, this is the ideal. So just pick one of these up and use it. Why would you use the other ones? The answer is very simple. You don't always have one of these. In Taiman, for example, where there was no food, there were very few rams, and those rams didn't have such long horns, so they didn't have much of a choice. They had no choice. They had to use a kudu horn. So this is what they grew up with in Taiman. It's most ironic, because who are the biggest Rambam followers in the world? The Taimanim. And yet this is the one Rambam they don't follow. And there are a few more, but this is a big one that they don't follow. This is very big. This is a big one that they don't follow. So if you tell this to a Taiman, he'll get very angry at you. And you can ask Rabbi Chaim what he thinks about how angry Taimanim can get. Rabbi Chaim once made a comment, Yoter kal laharog Taimanim elahotzi mimenu get. If you understood, you understood. If you didn't, you didn't. It's okay. But don't mention this to the Taimanim, but they have all sorts of explanations that the Rambam, you could reread the Rambam. The Rambam also only meant nechatchila, bad bach, what are we supposed to do? Not blow shofar, we have to rely on the other opinions. Okay, fine, whatever that they have to explain. Now, what about the nice, fancy, gold-plated silver shofarot? It's a ram's horn, after all. What's wrong with that? So the Gemara says you can't do that, because you might be ruining the sound that comes out of the shofar, and we don't want to do that. So on top of that, if you only read the books, you would assume that, let's say I checked it, I made sure the sound was okay, and etc., then it would be fine, right? The problem is you also have to know a little bit of practical, just busyness, as they say. When the guy who is, you know, not an expert necessarily at shofar making is standing in the factory in Morocco, Tel Aviv, or wherever else, and he's sticking this thing into the drill, or whatever, it's we're all human, we all make mistakes, we're going to make a crack. Imagine trying to unbend this huge, very delicate spiral. It can very easily get a hole or a crack. or our nice friend in Morocco who does not share our values and says, listen, Jews want these for money. If it cracks, I'll just fill it in. So number one, you have to have a hechsher, because if the guy in Morocco had a crack and he wants to make his money off of his kudu or whatever it is, he's going to fill it in with some silicon and it's going to look blend in just the same as everything else. So that's why you have to have a hechsher. But number two, even on top of that, the same place that makes this makes the ones with the nice fancy stuff on it. The answer is that when they break, they just cover it in gold and they sell it for Judaica. It's not used then for shofar blowing. It's just meant for nice. So if until now anybody was using a nice gold-plated one, I recommend not using a gold-plated one anymore. Buy a regular one. Jacob Greatneck has a whole selection of them. There are five levels of shofar, just so you know. At least five levels. Between one and five, one being the junkiest and you can't blow it for your life, five being doable. Four and five being doable, three, hey, don't waste your money. It starts with four. But you don't have to spend $100, $300, $500 on a shofar. If you can blow it, perfect. If you can't blow it, don't buy it. It's not, it doesn't matter how much money it costs. I bought this thing for $100. I went to Judaica. I went to other places. I found $300, $400, $500 ones. They all blew the same. So why should I spend more money? There's no hidur. But you should just know how to pick one. Your lips make a difference. The mouthpiece makes a difference. You want one that blows nicely and easily and fits in your hand. I went to a store a few weeks ago. I picked one out. I blew it and it was unbelievable. And then I realized this thing was pointing in my face. That's why it was unbelievable. So you have to make sure you know what you're doing. Make sure you're using a shofar that's kosher for you. Basically, nowadays, nobody should be using this. If you're tay money, I'm not going to get involved. It's not my problem. I'm not coming to your minyan either. And it's very nice for show. I gave a shiur on this year in yeshiva. So I had a lot of fun. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen. 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 Have a great day. Shana Tova, everybody.